On some of those bigger movies, my role on the set has been a people wrangler, and so my natural skill set leads me to being a first assistant director, where I'm understanding what the creative team is doing, but also trying to move the sometimes, you know, upwards of 50 or 60 people in a scene to keep them in track and doing what they're supposed to do. So not holding the camera on the big movies, I wouldn't necessarily say that the other movies that I worked on influenced it directly, but working on bigger projects completely gives you a sense of people and how the production and how much work it takes and how much behind the scenes goes into what goes on screen. A lot of us that end up making movies together went to school together. So we went to a small liberal arts school in San Diego. And some of the people in the friend group were a couple years older and some were a couple years younger. And we just kind of started making movies together. So the way it worked for, really it has worked since we graduated, was someone has an idea for a film and they call the group and say, "Hey everybody, I had a dream where a guy had a watermelon for a head. Would you like to make that into a short film with me? I wrote a script." And so everybody says, "Yeah." And then everybody jumps in and does different roles. So that's my entryway into larger movies, was being friends with people who are very talented and willing to collaborate or to invite people into their projects as they've gotten bigger.
So I guess we're here to talk about your film,
Great.
Janie Makes a Play.
Yeah.
Who is Janie?
Janie Callahan Chin is a dynamic 90-year-old, gunslinging, creative woman who lives in a really small town. Janie writes and directs original community theater for the small town that she lives in. And we had access to this story because she is my grandmother. And so when I had the idea for the film and we proposed it to the people in the town, we weren't introduced as a group of filmmakers from Southern California. We were introduced as, "This is Jared and his friends. They want to film a movie about us." And I think the town really welcomed us in a way that not many other people could have told the story the way that we have.
That's interesting, because I would imagine as well it could be difficult to make a film about your grandmother because there is not the separation between you as filmmaker versus you as her little grandson.
Yeah, there are definitely moments where being her grandson ruined a shot or a take.
Like what?
Well, just in an interview, she would reference something from our past or say, "Oh, your uncle." And I'd have to, at the end of that sentence, say, "That was great, but we've got to remember that people don't know that you know me. So people don't know who Uncle Tim is. Can you just say Tim or my son Tim?" Janie has 20-plus grandchildren, and so it's not like growing up that we were super intimate. She does a great job. I think remembering 20 grandchildren's names is oppressive in itself, let alone remembering our birthdays and sending cards. So it's not like I knew her super deeply. And in a way, actually, making this film allowed me to get to know her and myself better, because there were times in an interview she was saying things about her life that I was learning.
Was there any sort of awkwardness because you didn't have that intimacy?
No, I lived in Rio Vista for 2 years as a small child, I think from ages 4 to 6. And then we'd visit often. And so I was very familiar with the town, enough to be able to navigate, to know how to introduce ourselves to people, to know the connections between people. Because in a small town like Rio Vista, everybody knows everybody. For example, while we were filming, we followed one of the actors who's a sophomore in high school out to football practice. And I thought, oh man, how are we gonna get permission? How are we gonna get signatures for all this? And I'd emailed the football coach, but he just leaned football practice, sees what we're doing, and walks over and says, "Wait, what are you doing?" And I give him the 20-second pitch. And he said, "Wait, who are you?" And I said, "I'm Jared Callahan, Denny Callahan's son. He graduated in 1971. And he looked at me and he went, "You're related to Tim and Tom? Timmy and Tommy?" I said, "Yeah, those are my uncles." And he said, "Oh, your Uncle Tim taught me how to throw a football."
So in the film, there are these two tensions between the play actually being complete. And so if you could talk a little bit about maybe why that tension is there, and also how it is coupled with the tension of the town in the recession.
The tensions in the film were intertwined without our deciding for them to be. The the theme and the thread of the recession in Rio Vista is inseparable from anything else you would go ask them about. I think we did 65 interviews for the movie, and the recession was a strong theme in 20 of them. And so I think Rio Vista is very similar to what's happening across America in small towns, is it's just hard to live in a place where there's not work. Even if they shop local, I don't know if there's enough people to sustain some of the stores. So that is the undercurrent. It's not even an undercurrent. That's the current. That is you will notice the empty storefronts on Main Street if you drive down Main Street, and the foreclosed houses are around town. So that's the reality of outside the theater. As soon as you move inside the theater, people would kind of set down everything else that was going on in their life and pick up the script. And so there was this communal safe space to tell your own story, but also push yourself. And there are introverts on stage saying lines, and there are people that are young and are having trouble, and there are people, there's a guy in his 80s playing a robot. I mean, where else in the world is someone in their mid-80s encouraged to dress up like a robot and walk around in front of 100 people in a play? It's a community theater. That's community theater. The tension at the end of the movie is, I think, a shared tension for anyone who's ever created anything. I mean, even writing a paper in college, I mean, you write better 6 hours before the paper's due. And so for the play, they're also busy and they have their other lives. But when you really get to what they call Hell Week, the week before the play, it's all hands on deck, and they realize, at least while we were filming, how far they were away from pulling off a quality production. And so Janie, we interviewed her, I think, 5 days before opening night, and it was the most negative she ever got. But you can't even call it negative, because she is chronically positive. She's laughing through reading her journal of all the things that have gone wrong, people who have moved away, people who have quit, people who don't know their lines, and she laughs. She just laughs through the whole interview. And so you realize at that moment that she really is the motor that's gonna make this play happen, because she's gonna inspire and coach and train and direct this motley troupe of wonderful, eager townspeople and help them stumble towards opening night.
Could you give a brief summary of what her play is about?
Huh? For their 18th original musical melodrama, the group, which calls themselves No Small Thing Productions in Rio Vista, Janie wrote a play about a small town struggling during the Great Depression, and their land is being foreclosed, and a big businessman from New York City shows up, and he's slick, and he's going to trick the banker into buying all the mortgages and then leveling all the houses. And I think he says, I'm going to build a factory that can pump my harmful chemicals into the Sacramento River, ha ha ha. And so the audience boos and hisses and throws popcorn at him, you know. But the banker has this moral dilemma of, I need to save the bank, but I also owe it to the people of the small town to do right by them. And so you have to set it during the Great Depression, because that's the last time that we can relate to a story of people struggling this deeply. And then we know now that they came through it, but that it was really difficult. But in Rio Vista, they don't see that everything's getting better. The unemployment rate is still as high as it is now as it was when we filmed. And so they don't have hope yet. So to tell a story of hope where in the play they can defeat the bad guy, but then they leave the theater and real life is still happening, that glimpse or window of hope can help a community move forward towards the next day of life. That was the motivation to film this play. Like, the reason we filmed the play 18 and not any of the other ones was because there is such a strong link between the content that she was writing and what was happening in town. So when you realize that she wrote a play about a small town during the Great Depression, and then you learn what's happening in Rio Vista, you learn that they're telling their own story on stage. And I think that was really powerful for us as filmmakers.
How is the robot connected to the depression and the recession?
Loosely. I think Janie writes parts for people so they can participate. And I think that she just lets her mind go. She says in the movie, I write whatever I'm interested in. And so Janie will invent parts for people, even if they come late, even if the script is finished and they've already done auditions and someone finds out about the play, comes with a friend to rehearsal, she will write a part for them to put them in the play. So every bumbling inventor in the 30s needs a sidekick, and why not have it be an 80-year-old man dressed as a robot? My favorite parts of filming this movie is how she laughs. She laughs wildly and often. She laughs at her own jokes, which makes her endearing. If you just wait long enough, after a long pause, so she'll say something and pause and then go, ha ha ha. But Coming out of a 32-year-old male is different than an endearing 90-year-old woman. We showed it to a couple test audiences, and at the end of the movie, they'd say, "Oh, I can see where you get it from." And I'd say, "What are you talking about?" And they'd say, "Oh, you're exactly like your grandmother." But I've never been told that in my whole life. I mean, nobody has known us both other than our families. I wasn't from her town. So it's been really interesting for me to start to get to see the strains of creativity and storytelling that are in her. I'd always seen them in all my aunts and uncles, but now I'm realizing they've come down to the cousins and myself, which is a huge gift to be likened to Janie.